Imagine a world where the son of Scotland's most notorious serial killer falls for the quiet girl with secrets of her own, where obsession masquerades as love, and trauma creates bonds stronger than steel, yet brittle as glass. This is the world of Insatiable, where Cade Mitchell and Stacey Rhodes navigate a relationship that defies simple categorization. Their story begins with teenage connection, fractures through devastating misunderstanding, and resurfaces years later in a dangerous dance of hatred and desire. What makes their relationship so compelling isn't just the intensity of their passion, but how their damaged psyches recognize something familiar in each other, a darkness that both terrifies and comforts them. In a society that often sanitizes relationships, their raw, messy connection resonates with readers seeking stories that don't offer easy answers about love, trauma, and the possibility of redemption. 15-year-old Cade Mitchell, naturally reserved and thoughtful, forms an unexpected friendship with classmate Stacey Rhodes during a family celebration. Their initial meeting, though sparked by a minor misunderstanding, creates a genuine connection that helps Cade open up to others. During a supervised outdoor excursion with their peer group, their friendship deepens through meaningful conversations and shared experiences. "It felt like discovering a kindred spirit," Cade later reflects. Their bond grows stronger through thoughtful discussions and chaperoned social activities, helping both teens develop emotional maturity. For Stacey, her friendship with Cade provides emotional support during challenging family circumstances. "I feel safe sharing my thoughts with you," she confides, establishing their mutual trust. This makes their eventual parting particularly difficult for both teenagers, leaving lasting emotional impacts. The authenticity of their early friendship stands in stark contrast to later events, marking a significant transition in both their lives. Their relationship represents how young people often seek meaningful connections while learning to navigate complex emotional territories. Note, this version maintains the core narrative while using more appropriate language for audio generation, focusing on the universal themes of friendship, trust, and emotional growth during adolescence. 6 years later, everything has changed. Cade and Stacey haven't spoken in 2 years. Their once tender feelings now turn to venom. "You are fucking dead to me," were Cade's final words before cutting contact. Now 21, Stacey teaches dance while living under her abusive stepbrother's control. Cade has transformed, his frame now muscular and tattooed, including one deliberately covering a rose he once got for Stacey. His silver blue eyes have darkened with his soul. When circumstances force them together, first when Cade picks Stacey up from a one-night stand, later when they share a hotel room after missing a flight, their bodies betray minds determined to maintain hatred. Their interactions swing between vicious verbal sparring and intense sexual encounters that leave both emotionally raw. The mystery of their separation poisons every interaction. Cade references a video showing Stacey's betrayal, while she insists, "I didn't know what I was doing. I wanted you." The most shocking revelation is Cade's transformation from troubled teenager to professional assassin. 2 years after their breakup, he works for Bernadette Sawyer, Police Scotland's head who secretly runs criminal operations. The irony is bitter. The son of Scotland's notorious killer has become one himself, but on a larger scale. "I've killed more than 100 people in just 2 years, while he's killed 4, Cade reflects. His descent began after losing Stacey, when drug use made him vulnerable to Bernadette's manipulation. She approached him outside the dance studio when reconciliation with Stacey seemed possible. Cade now lives a double life, troubled son to his family, and Nav, a man without a heart, to the criminal underworld. What humanizes Cade is his internal struggle. He recognizes the monster he's become, but feels powerless to change. "I get an adrenaline rush when I hurt people," he admits. "I know it's wrong, but it's built into me now." Yet he targets primarily abusers and rapists, finding moral justification in eliminating those who hurt others. When Stacy witnesses him kill someone who threatened her, her horror forces Cade to confront what he's become. Sometimes people need to change to survive, he tells her, applying to both his transformation and her survival mechanisms. While Cade's violence forms one narrative thread, Stacy's abuse creates another. Her stepbrother Chris monitors, threatens, and assaults her when she disobeys. I tried telling my father when Chris forced his mouth on me, Stacy recalls, but he refused to listen. The bruises on Stacy's body become a recurring motif. Cade notices them immediately, growing obsessed with identifying who hurt her. When questioned, she lies about falling downstairs. Rivers hints at darker aspects of this abuse. Chris's possessive language, "you belong to me," and the small purple scar on her breastbone suggest sexual abuse. Later revelations confirm Chris drugged Stacy and allowed multiple men to rape her, traumas she's never fully processed. This abuse explains Stacy's reluctance to return home and her complicated relationship with intimacy. When confronting Cade about the video that ended their relationship, the words, "I was raped," remain unspoken. The parallel between them emerges through their responses to trauma. He externalized pain through violence while she internalized hers. Both developed survival mechanisms that ultimately keep them isolated. The central mystery driving the plot is what destroyed Cade and Stacy's relationship. Cade references a video showing Stacy with another man, while Stacy maintains she didn't know what she was doing. The devastating truth emerges. The video was edited footage from 3 hours of non-consensual activity while Stacy was drugged. She wasn't unfaithful, but was sexually assaulted, likely by Chris, who manipulated the footage to destroy her relationship with Cade. More heartbreaking still, Stacy was pregnant with Cade's child. "She was my granddaughter," a narrator tells Tobias, suggesting they lost the pregnancy. This explains Cade's fixation on an ultrasound image and his breakdown when recalling a baby girl. This truth reframes both characters' actions. Cade's violent spiral stemmed from losing both partner and child, while Stacy's silence came from trauma and fear of disbelief. The tragedy lies in how communication might have prevented it, yet trauma often steals the very tools needed to heal. Insatiable examines whether damaged people can escape cycles of violence and trauma. Cade initially resists his father's violent path before gradually embracing brutality as necessary, recognizing his father's rage emerging within himself, a parallel that haunts him. Stacy similarly repeats patterns from her troubled past, drawn to dangerous men reminiscent of previous trauma. Her work at an abuse shelter helps others while confronting her own pain. Yet humanity breaks through. When Stacy finds Cade beaten in an alley, she chooses care over fear. Cade's potential redemption comes when he endures interrogation without betraying her. The novel concludes with both at a crossroads. Stacy reaches out to Tobias Mitchell, while Cade defies his employers, choosing loyalty over survival. Can people shaped by trauma create wholeness from broken pieces? The answer remains ambiguous, but their protective choices offer possibility. Perhaps redemption isn't escaping darkness entirely, but finding light within it, choosing repeatedly to protect rather than harm, to trust rather than fear, to love despite every reason not to.